Good morning. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Thank you for listening this morning. And we have a lot to talk about, as we do every morning. CDC official is calling Obama the worst president, an amateur and a Marxist, after the influx of illegal alien minors. We're going to discuss the charges levied against the president, not actual charges, mind you. They're criminal charges, although some would consider them criminal indeed. You can call in 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And we have a San Francisco woman shot dead by an illegal immigrant who's been deported 5 times. 5 times. And what's going to be done about it? Well, I'll let you listen to the clip yourself.
32-year-old Kate Stiley was killed as she walked with her father on Pier 14, and Francisco Sanchez admits he shot her.
Did you shoot Kate Stiley, the lady who was down on Pier 14?
Yes.
But Sanchez is the only person taking blame. No one in federal, state, or local government is taking responsibility. Instead, they're playing a blame game, and it all centers around...
Wait a minute. Now, since when has the federal government ever taken responsibility for anything? It's just a thought I have. I'll keep listening.
Around the sanctuary, the city policy, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, says it asked the sheriff to notify federal agents before Sanchez was released so he could be deported.
Okay, so he's going to be deported. There's going to be no recompense. He's been deported 5 times. Is that really working? And now that you have the CDC official calling Obama the worst president, an amateur and a Marxist, after the influx of illegal alien minors. This is continuing to follow him. I've got an article here from judicialwatch.org. And I'll read it to you. The following the influx of illegal immigrant minors from Central America, an official at the federal agency charged with protecting public health describes Barack Obama as, quote, the worst prez we have ever had, an amateur and Marxist, according to internal emails obtained by Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch got the records as part of an investigation into the Center for Disease Control's activation of an emergency operations center to deal with the barrage of illegal alien minors last summer. Tens of thousands of Central Americans came into the United States through the Mexican border, and contagious diseases, many considered to be eradicated in the U.S., became a tremendous concern. The CDC, which operates under the Department of Health and Human Services, responded by opening an emergency facility designed to monitor and coordinate response activities to imminent public health threats. The Special Emergency Division was created after the 2001 terrorist attacks and has responded to more than 50 public health threats, including hurricanes, foodborne disease outbreaks, the 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic, and the Haiti cholera outbreak. Scientists from across the CDC are brought together to analyze, validate, and efficiently exchange information during a public health emergency and connect with response partners. So the truth coming out about President Obama, is this really correct? I think that the worst president we've ever had? Well, what do you think? 610-539-TALK. Yeah, he definitely takes the cake, doesn't he? He definitely takes the cake for the job. And not only that, but all I seem to hear anymore is now that we have gotten marriage equality, now we are talking about income equality. Income equality is the big topic, of course, because our economy is down. And what the real thing that people want you to focus on now is how you are disadvantaged, that there are people who are making more money than you, and because they are making more money than you, they are evil. Might I remind you that money is the root of all evil, and so is a desire to take it from someone else unjustly. Yeah, we call that covetousness, just to let you know. But just to kind of give you an idea as far as how bad President Obama is. I'm looking here at this article. Public Health Advisor William Adams wrote or was written to by Specialist George Rourke. This is CDC Logistic Management. Quote, no country in the world would allow the influx. Adams replies that in 10 years or less, they'll all be voting commander's intent. And then this specialist, George Rourke, he's the official, the CDC official with these comments. Describing Obama, he fires back in response, quote, the worst prez we have ever had. He truly is the amateur, but a Marxist too. See, it's all falling around him. I've said this before, the emperor has no clothes. And King Obama certainly does not have any clothes. None. And we are just waiting for the next blunder because these policies are failing us. Because we have, for example, the San Francisco woman deported 5 times. I'm looking at a Fox News article, which, by the way, the offender has a lengthy criminal record. A 45-year-old repeat drug offender released from jail April 15th after law enforcement officials declined to prosecute him. Expected to be arraigned Tuesday in the killing of Catherine Steinle, who was 32 at the time. This is the woman who died at the hands of this man. The charge came hours after federal immigration officials fired back at San Francisco for putting Sanchez back on the street, saying, quote, this terrible tragedy could have been prevented if they had been notified of the suspect's release. Sanchez, a Mexican national, had been in the custody of the San Francisco Sheriff's Department on a decade-old drug charge. When he was released in a detailed statement released Monday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement said that at the time, that is ICE, by the way, it had turned over Sanchez to local law enforcement. It also had requested that they be kept apprised of any changes in his status, and they weren't. We're not asking local law enforcement to do our job. That was ICE spokeswoman Jillian Christensen said in the statement, all we're asking is that they notify us when a serious foreign national criminal offender is being released to the street so we can arrange to take custody and deport him for the 6th time and hope and cross our fingers that he will, when he decides to come again into this country illegally, because he will, that he will obey our laws. And hope and pray that that is the case. While saying the agency understands local law enforcement's on the issue, Christensen said the bottom line is that if San Francisco authorities, quote, had merely notified ICE that they were about to release this individual into the community, ICE could have taken custody of him and had him removed from the country, thus preventing this terrible tragedy. The city did not notify ICE. And they're saying that that is the reason that this horrible crime was committed, because ICE, the government, was not notified of this criminal whom they had deported 5 times and whom had illegally gotten into the country yet again. If they were notified, then this whole tragedy would have been averted. Of course, our hearts and prayers go out to the family of this horrible, horrible, horrible crime. Now, Donald Trump, might I remind you, last week was in a firestorm because of the comments he made regarding illegal immigrants. His charge claiming that they are rapists, that they are murderers, and he got some serious backlash, of which we are still seeing the consequences from that. New York City was discussing dropping him, basically different contracts that they have with his businesses. Now, It is becoming, to have an opinion in this nation, very costly. To have an opinion in this nation now, and we see in the example is Donald Trump. Now, I made the point as well with Donald Trump that he was not, he even said in his statement, I believe Mexicans are good people. And there are good people who are Mexican, who are immigrants. But there are people who are breaking the law. There are people who are raping innocent individuals, who are illegal immigrants. Not all of them. And we just think that the minute someone says something we don't like, that we take it to the extreme of, well, they meant everyone. They're stereotyping, and we need to take them down in any way that we can. And that's what's changing in our nation today. 610-539-TALK, the number to call. If you don't think that that's the only thing that's in the headlines, we also have a rise in voters, according to a new Rasmussen poll, backing states over the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about that in just a moment here on 1180 WFYI.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
No, there's an interesting scripture I'd like to share with you for our scripture of the day this morning. Thank you for joining us on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, and join the conversation this morning. You know, I've been getting very discouraged lately, looking at different news, and I have found that this only does one thing, and it's by design. It draws me to God in a deeper way, where I pursue Him on my knees. Is that what our nation is being called to? Even those who are not Christian. Well, how can we be called as this nation to bow before a God we don't even know or we don't even believe in? How is that going to solve our problems? How are you the only one who's right? I believe that Christianity is the one faith in all the world that is unlike any other, and I believe that because it is only through Jesus Christ that you are saved. Not through how good you are or how many good things that you do, which you find in Islam is completely based on your works. Completely. You have to try to do a number of great things, good deeds, in order to earn Allah's favor. It's all about you. You could look at Hinduism. Your actions determine where you will be placed in this universe. Buddhism, the same thing. Your actions determine everything. Now, our actions most certainly determine things. But our salvation, that paradise that everyone's looking for, whether they're trying to make it here on earth as humans, in the form of communism, trying to make a human utopia here on earth that supplants man over God, or, much like our president is being accused of doing, which I believe is accurate, or whether it is just in one of the established age-old religions trying to prove oneself to God through what one does. Christianity is the only religion that is different, meaning in that it is by simply believing in Jesus that he did all the work and that you just have to have faith, and it's free for anyone to take. Anyone. There's nothing else like that in the entire world. And the more that I learn about the Bible, the more that I see Scripture, the more that I find it is not only true, but it gives life. And everything that I was raised with, the hold dear and close. And I'm not talking about simply in church. I'm talking about secular ideas of a good world, one that prospers, one where everyone does to another what is good, not what is evil, and that everyone lives a good life, a peaceful life. I'm talking secular ideas here. I find more and more that as I follow Christ, and as I learn more about God's word, that all of that is found in one place, and that is in Christianity, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And he is to be anyone's Lord if you have him. Now, I want to give you some encouragement this morning for the Christian and for the non-Christian out of God's word. Job 11, verse 18. Now, before I read, I want to give you some context as to the book of Job if you don't know. The book of Job was a book where a man had everything taken away from him. He had accumulated wealth. He had accumulated a family, property, and he had all of that taken away from him. Satan went before God and said, he will not follow you if you take all of these things away from him. Because how many times have we also heard, and this is even sometimes an idea in secular society, that you could get all these things, but does it really satisfy? You could accumulate all this stuff, and it's good for a little bit, but what does anyone who has all these things often tell you? That it doesn't make any difference in their life. Sure, it's nice. It's comfortable. But is it what you really want your whole life to be about? And when we find our place at the end of this life, only holding on to things, we could find that's pretty empty and void because we're not taking any of it with us. Job lost everything. He even got angry at God. But you know what? God was calling Job to believe in him, that he is going to make it out of this, that he was going to make it through these horrible times. Everything was being taken away from him. This is all context now. And that even after all these things would be taken away from him, that he could still trust in God, still have an inner peace. Buddhism talks a lot about that. Isn't that what it's about? Because there's a peace we're all searching for inside of our souls that we can't really have. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because I got discouraged looking at all the news. I'm sure you did too. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle that you're on. The news can be weighing down. But here's some encouragement for the Christian and the non-Christian. This is for those who have faith in God. And this is the promise God has for those who believe in him through Jesus. And we find it in one of Job's friends trying to give him encouragement. This is verse 18, talking to Job while he's going in the midst of all this. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Now, it's interesting because Job, all of his friends, this verse I just read to you, his friends are trying to give him encouragement while he's going through this horrible time. He lost his wife, his children, all of his property, his wealth, all taken away from him. And they're actually writing to him saying, all these things are happening because you did something wrong. And traditionally, it is taught that no, it's not because he did anything wrong. It's because sometimes bad things happen in this life. And you, I, with all the power that we have, we can't avoid that. But that despite these horrible things that come to pass, as we all learn in traveling in this great adventure called life, that God doesn't do it necessarily just because of sin, just because of what we may do wrong. That he doesn't necessarily do this, but that even in the midst of that, we could still find hope in him. We could still be secure in him. You will be secure because there is hope, and you will look about you and take your rest in safety. And we could do that even when things around us are not going in any way that we ever thought, and when things are collapsing, and when the news is bad, that we could always take our hope in God. Always. And I could even go into the Psalms, and those are used a lot of times for this as well, but I thought that out of the book of Job, it was particularly enlightening. We've got to head to a break. We're going to get to more headlines. We have a guest coming in. We're going to be continuing the show this morning. It's a new day at 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. Stay right there. We'll be back after this.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Bill Cosby admitted years ago he drugged a woman with whom he settled out of court.
In documents obtained by the Associated Press, Cosby admitted during a 2005 deposition in a sexual abuse lawsuit that he got Quaaludes intending to give them to young women with whom he wanted to have sex, and that he gave former Temple University employee Andrea Constand 3 half pills of Benadryl. 2 women testified on Constand's behalf they had knowingly been given Quaaludes.
Fox News Radio Sharon Katchen, no response to the release from the comedian or his lawyers. Emergency talks on the economic crisis in Greece.
The Greek prime minister has been warned by the leaders of France and Germany that they want to hear new ideas. It's thought he's going to push for debt relief. If the negotiations fall apart, Greece could be looking at a messy exit from the euro currency.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen in Athens. Fox News, we report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Hawaii became a U.S. territory this day, July 7, 1898, as President McKinley signed the Treaty of Annexation. Discovered by Captain James Cook in 1778, the islands were soon united by King Kamehameha. After his death, his son and his mother as prime minister abolished the pagan religion, which included human sacrifice. The next year, the first missionaries arrived from New England, creating a written language and translating the Bible. Hawaii's motto, "The life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness," was first uttered by Queen Keopulani as she was baptized into the Christian faith.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There have been a lot of other shoes dropping since the Supreme Court ordered a redefinition of marriage in every corner of our nation. Calls for ending tax exemption for churches and other ministries are ringing loudly. And this past week, the ACLU called for repeal of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which they initially supported when it became federal law more than 20 years ago. Apparently, the ACLU is unhappy that the law was used to protect the conscience rights and religious liberty of the Christian owners of companies like Conestoga Wood Specialties and Hobby Lobby. It seems the ACLU is fine with the law protecting the rights of those in non-Christian religions, but it doesn't like it protecting a Christian's right to conscience. Frankly, I'm not surprised.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here. That number again, 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard this morning, 610-539-8255. We have special guests joining us in studio this morning, who's a physician. He studied medical oncology, hematology, internal medicine, independent medical examiner. Says independent medical examination, but you've worked at Nazareth Hospital. You are also a GOP committee person. You got some important information for members of the Republican Party today. Robert Sklaroff, how you doing this morning, Robert?
Peachy keen.
All right, very nice. Have you ever done anything like this before?
I've been on the radio for decades. I've been an anti-tobacco activist since the 1970s.
Wow, 1970s.
Yes. Debating Tobacco Institute spokespersons in various venues. It's been a lot of fun.
What do you think about the current state of tobacco use?
I'll tell you with great precision, because last Thursday I sent in some testimony to the FDA, which is right now problematic because they are, as well as Philadelphia City Council, besmirching e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes. And the best way to summarize the situation is when you have something that does not have the tar and does not have the carbon monoxide poisoning and only is a nicotine delivery device, as opposed to being limited to age 18 or only smoking areas when it's only water vapor, this should be out the window and you should be encouraging it. And the proof of that is that in April, the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, issued reports regarding what's going on with high school kids. And it turns out the number of smokers has dropped and the same number of individuals who have increased is the people using e-cigs. So it's not a gateway approach. It is actually a way to have smoking cessation. And that's the short version of the 150-odd pages that we submitted, Bill Gottschall and I. He is an expert in this issue since 1989. And so I basically borrowed his data and amplified upon it. So that's what's going on, and it's bad that the FDA is trying to stop something that is much more effective, even as per studies in England, with single-blind, randomized trials, much better than Chantix, for example.
Does nicotine have adverse effects?
Nicotine is a normal neurotransmitter. You have two types of muscles, muscarinic and nicotinic. It is addictive, but on the other hand, it itself is not dangerous. It's not going to cause you to have the heart attacks, the strokes, as that's the carbon monoxide part, or anything related to the carcinogenic stuff, the 2,000 gaseous and particulate poisons in every puff of cigarettes. So okay. That's the short version. But we're off the topic a bit, but
sure,
I've been living this since the 1970s.
Oh, no. I was just curious there. That's interesting about the e-cigarettes, that correlation.
You walk right into it because it's a major problem. And I think that there might be a problem with the FDA and all of the anti-tobacco establishment, such as Tobacco-Free Kids, Heart, Lung, and Cancer, who are not speaking out like Bill Gottschall and I are. More data available upon request anytime by email, rsklaroff@gmail.com. You can get a copy of our FDA testimony.
And Sklaroff, you spell that S-K-L-A-R-O-F-F.
Right, rsklaroff@gmail.com. I'll send you whatever you want to read.
Well, tell us about this new thing that we're pushing for in the Republican Party, that you're pushing for in the Republican Party.
Right. I live in Abington, and I've been a committeeman or committee person for two decades. And I have watched how Obama's database outside Chicago, they have a supercomputer that has every single voter and a lot of demographics about not just whether or not they voted last week, but also their spending habits and their interests and so forth. Republicans in Pennsylvania have not done that. So what happened is 3 weeks ago there was they haven't done it in Pennsylvania, but they've done it in other places, and that's why we did so well in the senatorial races last year. And so some people were thinking, well, all right, well, Pennsylvania's senatorial race isn't until next year, but we want those data this year. So I'm making a lot of noise along those lines. And 3 weeks ago at the Sheraton downtown Philly, there was a Northeast Republican conference, which they say is something they've done before, but at least if they did it before, it was never in Philly. They had 600 people there, and they had a half a dozen people running for president sprinkled in before, during, and after from Thursday through Saturday. Thursday at 2 o'clock, Saturday noon. And it was very, very well run, and they had a number of workshops on data. And I got a lot of business cards that I'm going to be following up regarding what they say they'll provide us on the local level.
So are you telling me that we have lost elections in the past for lack of voter demographic data?
And targeting. Absolutely no question about it. And we got to get up to speed because the Dems are way ahead of us in Pennsylvania, at least.
Now, is that really... Because some people would say that it has to do with more than just data, demographics. But how big of a piece do you believe that that is as far as elections?
It is vital. Because what you're doing is you're cleaning up reports that you get from various sources that I know are imprecise. Because, for example, I have not moved since personally in Abington, since 1983. So I tested the system last year. I went to the headquarters in Philly on Cotman Street, which is near Nazareth. And I looked myself up, and the phone number that was described to me was basically seven random digits. So, you know, and how do I fix that? And who gives me the authorization to fix it so that the people down in Washington have a clean database? And suppose I want to put in my email address, and suppose someone else in the Republican Party wants to use it. All of these issues are free-floating, and it seems that they have to get fixed. So that was one facet of this conference, but there were other facets of it related, for example, to all the presidential candidates who came and to varying degrees were either lauded or looked upon with scratching heads. And I can go through them whenever you'd like. and then in addition, they had the first conference at 2 o'clock on Thursday was on foreign policy. And one of the speakers there was a guy named Ed Trzanski, whom I've known for a long time. He is at LaSalle, and he is brilliant. You've seen him sometimes on Sunday morning at 11:30 when the inside story conversations. Expert in foreign policy, and he's a local gem. And also Frank Gaffney was there, who is a national figure along these lines. And let's see, Phil English was the presider. He's a former congressman. He was very... He may be retired, but he was very interactive throughout the meeting. He answered a lot of questions for me. He gave me a lot of attention, which I appreciated. And then when you look at it, the conference was Securing the Future. And they also had someone named Kieran Skinner from the Hoover Institution. And she basically laid out what's considered to be, quote unquote, the Obama doctrine. And we use the word doctrine in quotes because actually what it was a rationalization of retreat. The line that I use is he follows from behind. And we're seeing that right now in Iraq and Syria and so forth.
So what we're really the big change is this is going to be at a local level as far as demographics. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's one of the components of this conference. But, mm-hmm. of course, it was not the only component. That was one of the workshops. In addition, they had, I told you, this session, and then they had a lot of these speakers. The first one was George Pataki, who had just announced. Mm-hmm. I have my whole assessment of the horse race. And I'm very much in favor of Ted Cruz. And I have a scenario where by the end of the day, we look at a Cruz-Walker ticket, which satisfies a lot of nerf endings. But the bottom line is that each one of these people who came along, I look at them as individuals and assess them. Pataki, I think, is never going to get above 1%. He's pro-choice, and he's yesterday's news. And I think that the Republican Party would not accept a pro-choice presidential candidate. I think that what happened with Chris Christie, if you've noticed, he's a straight talker, but he even said there, and he's repeated it, that people who have paid into Social Security who have high incomes, he would slash, if not eliminate, the time when they would collect. And this is a contract. This was not voluntary. This was mandatory. And to take that money away is inappropriate. And he says, well, they don't need it. And the answer is, well, maybe it would go to their estates. So the bottom line is that he's trying to be a little bit too liberal on a lot of levels. He also attacks Pamela Geller, and I like Pamela Geller for a lot of different reasons. And so that's sort of like a litmus test. Fiorina was good. She gave a lot of bullet points, but then I spoke to one of her aides and sent – A friend of mine gave me the email address of one of her aides, and I sent a rather hot memo to her twice, no response. Essentially documenting the fact in 2011 when Fiorina was the head of Hewlett-Packard, she wrote a she gave a speech which was basically praising Islam governance for a millennium and let's say glossed over the oppression that was generated therefrom. And the speech subsequently was annotated by somebody else, sent that to them, and basically no response. So that's an example of the kind of stuff I was doing critically while I was listening.
I feel like you're a political correspondent for us at this point now. You're really giving.
Well, I'm going through the people as well as the content of the meeting.
No, and this is all going to be things that we're having to discuss. Yeah, we've got the election right around the corner, so
right.
We're going to continue the conversation. We got to head to a break, but we will continue talking with Robert and get some more political insight right after this.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
The book of Jude shouts God's warning to America. Certain people will sneak into the church, pretend to believe in God, but like Satan, deny the power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, these religious but ungodly people will pursue egregious sexual immorality, defile the institution of marriage, detest moral authority, and fully corrupt themselves. Jude says these people, like clouds without rain, are ignorant and arrogant. In these times, Jude says to take heart, because the Lord Jesus himself will soon come with 10,000 angels and execute justice against all those who deny his authority. These mockers may sound bold, but they will fall before the justice of God. The command for us? Contend for the faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God and look for the mercy of God. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying with Jude, trust in God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Welcome back to It's a New Day at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levins here. You can call at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We've got, did we tell you we've got a new political correspondent now? Robert Sklaroff joining us in studio this morning. Republican committee person, also a physician, medical oncologist, studies hematology as well, internal medicine. And he is joining us with the latest in political intrigue, as he was just at a conference in downtown Sheraton, you said it was.
Yeah, 17th and Arch.
For Republican committee persons, and tell us the latest. We were just talking a little bit about the candidates, what the field looks like for the presidential election. So, we were talking about some different names and your opinion on how they're going to stand in the race, if they're even going to be able to actually get a foothold with the Republican base, some of those names being like Rick Santorum or Mike Huckabee. Tell us, what are your perspectives on those candidates? Well, let's move down the line here.
Well, let me just tell you something, full disclosure. 4 years ago, on January the 3rd, I went to Iowa, and I represented Rick Perry at one of the caucuses. It was great fun, and I liked him then, but then we had the oops moment. And then Rick Perry has come out against the message that Trump has been delivering. And so I put him in the same category as the huckster, Huckabee, and Santorum as yesterday's news. We need someone who's going to excite the party. And those three, I think, from the past are going to remain in the past.
Now, tell me about the oops moment.
Yeah, well, remember when he was in the debate and he could not remember the three departments that he would abolish. And then he needed to be prodded, and he couldn't remember energy. And the bottom line of it all was that when you think about his candidacy, even as the last couple of days would evince, he has come out against what Trump was trying to say, whereas Cruz has pointed out that although I would say it differently, maybe he was a little bit indelicate. He's pointing out a major problem on the border. So Rick Perry, I think, is trying to engage in attention-seeking behavior, just like Christie. And I think that this will be drawn asunder. Also, Huckabee was a big spender when he was the governor of Arkansas. And although he's very likable, again, I think he's not going to be able to expand to the rest of the party. Rand Paul is a problem because of foreign policy, and we see what's going on with international terrorism as a result of ignoring the Islamic State threat. And so I think he's out. The problem that I think is going to ultimately knock out Rubio is the issue of immigration. Now, he's been sinking in the polls because he's trying to portray himself as an expert in foreign policy. He has no cred at all, as far as I can detect, no accomplishments. And he does not really repudiate what happened with this Gang of Eight bill when he was working with the Dems. He simply regrets trusting Schumer and Obama, as anyone else could have figured out a long time ago. So I think he will fade. Jeb Bush, I view as the Midas Touch candidate, because he's got all the money in the world, but he can't buy votes. He's not going to win the first three states, and he's going to be in trouble thereafter. And I think that ultimately the rock star of the event, as well as I think the individual who's going to emerge at the top along with Cruz, is Walker. He fills what I consider to be the March Madness slot or bracket of the Midwest successful governor. And he, compared with all the others who were present, mixed with the crowd. I have his signature on my program. And he was introduced by State Senator Scott Walker, who listed his achievements. And his first sentence when he got up there was, you know what, I don't have to give a speech. You already heard what I did. And then he starts talking about other things. And he was retroactively portrayed as the keynoter Saturday, the last event. And he was extremely well received. So I would think that, and he also run the straw poll, 30%, and everyone else like 15% and lower, including Cruz. But Cruz is a sleeper. He'll come up.
Now, a lot of fear of voters, Republican voters, too, a lot of what would be the far, far conservative right, a fear of them is that they're not going to have a candidate that they could latch on to, or that there's so many candidates that are in the field that it's really going to dash any chances at all of being able to get any political sway. What do you say?
I have both inside and external information suggesting that the evangelical community will be meeting over the summer, both nationally and specifically in New Hampshire. And this is through Breitbart and an article in the New York Times, respectively, that I read about 2-3 months ago, that they're going to try to congeal behind one or two people at the jump shot. And I think that that's, for example, where the attractiveness of sons of religious leaders, such as Walker and Cruz, will take hold. I saw Rafael Cruz 3 years ago during the American Heritage action effort by the Sentinels to try to defund Obamacare the last Thursday in August of 2 years ago, and 2.5 years, almost 3 years, and he was superb. And the bottom line of it all is that I think that what's going to happen is the constitutional conservative bracket would be inhabited only by Cruz and Paul, but Paul is problematic in foreign policy, so the Cruz has that monopoly. The establishment role, I think Romney's out of it. Bush will be soon out of it. Rubio will inherit that because he's good for Wall Street, they think. And then ultimately what will happen, I think, is they'll settle in on Walker.
Now, you really think Bush will be out of it that easy?
Yes, because if he doesn't win the first three states, his expectations when he's riding at the top of the polls at this time will potentially cause him problems. And people will see that the Bush name is a high negative. I mean, next to Trump, you look at the people for whom the Republican base won't vote, and he's right there. And I think in terms of the evangelicals, I point to Sam Rohrer, with whom I spoke, and I don't want to quote him directly, but the impression that I got when I saw him after he spoke at a Tea Party event a few months ago was exactly what I told you regarding the fact that the evangelical community needs to congeal early on and not be split. And I think I don't want to quote him, but whenever I discuss this issue with people in his world, they all like Cruz because he's got the Tea Party vote pretty much monopolized, and he's so precise. And every time, if you listen last week, for example, with the one-hour interview that he had on Yahoo with Katie Couric, he was already knowing his answer before she got three words into a question. He is so sharp. He is knowledgeable. He gives content. And I think he's going to continue to blow them away at the debates nicely. He will not go after any of them individually. He will simply be positive assertive in terms of his competitors. He will not violate Reagan's 11th commandment,
which is
do not diss another competitor.
Well, which is what we need, because there's so much divisiveness in the political sphere right now,
which is enhanced by the media.
Right, and we need to be able to try to bridge that somehow.
Correct.
We need to be able to bridge that. You know, I've often thought of, you know, as a Christian, we need to have the gospel in particular in politics. I don't understand why. And again, as a Christian, we need to be able to, because a lot of things that we hold to near and dear are origins. A lot of that Judeo-Christian in our history, a lot of our laws, Judeo-Christian laws. If we don't have that, we don't have anything, I believe.
Yes, but watch out. I was just watching this morning on Fox and Friends, and apparently there's a pastor who has a flag that he is hanging over the American flag. He's trying to send a message of what you just said, but inappropriately. The American flag is besmirched if, when you have a flagpole, it's not at the top of the flagpole. So what we have to do is we have to make sure that our ethical attitudes inform but do not dominate the message that's sent out to everybody else.
And you also have to think of as well that Christian faith is going to be more than a flag. It's going to be more than a flag,
right,
on a pole.
It's got to be integrated into all of your thinking.
But it is provocative, no less, though. And with the decision in the Supreme Court, the concern of many Christians is that what are pastors going to be doing? Are they going to be forced? We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But thank you so much for joining us, Robert.
Anytime. I think I'll be here next week.
All right. Well, we've got to head to a break, and we'll be right back on It's a New Day.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7? At 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180.
AM 1180.
WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. A decade-old admission is just coming to light now from before Bill Cosby's sex scandal broke.
Cosby admitted during a 2005 deposition in a sexual abuse lawsuit that he got Quaaludes intending to give them to young women with whom he wanted to have sex.
That was in a deposition in a case involving a woman the comedian later made a settlement with, and the Associated Press went to court to get the documents released.
The revelation comes as the 77-year-old Cosby is accused of sexual misconduct by more than two dozen women, including some who allege he drugged and raped them in incidents over four decades.
That's Fox's Sharon Catch, and it's another day of closed banks and ATM restrictions in Greece.
People are just fearful of what the next day is going to bring.
Now, Greece's prime minister is again going to try to work out a new bailout deal with Eurozone leaders after voters rejected demands for strict Greek spending cuts. Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live in Athens.
Dave, Alexis Tsipras has been warned by some other European leaders that they expect serious proposals from him today as he heads off to Brussels to meet with European creditors. Right now, Greece can't pay its debts, and there's a $4 billion payment to the European Central Bank looming later this month. Here in Athens, people backed the prime minister in Sunday's referendum, but a number I've spoken to say they've lost all trust in politicians. Dave.
Simon, talks to curb Iran's nuclear program lasted just 16 minutes this morning, and the State Department has backtracked that this is a deadline day for a deal.
Among those who agree that today is not a deadline, the Iranians, who told reporters in a briefing held on the sidelines of the talks on Monday, quote, "We do not see any definite deadline as to our work here."
That's Fox's James Rosen at the talks in Vienna. They've paused to reflect in London, remembering the bombings 10 years ago today.
Looks like there's just explosion.
Four British men blew themselves up on three subway trains and a bus, killing 52 people. The prime minister and London's mayor laid a wreath at a memorial earlier. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
And now, another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. A man told us that since he'd gotten his new Bushnell Tour-X rangefinder at Golfsmith, his game had improved. The dual-display rangefinder was so accurate that his friends were now asking him to give the distances on their shots, too. And he did. Give or take 20 yards. Hurry into Golfsmith and get the season's best equipment, like the new Bushnell Tour X rangefinder. Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
Congress returns today, and one big issue at a Senate hearing will be ISIS. Defense Secretary Ash Carter and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey will face questions at a hearing into the U.S. strategy the day after President Obama went to the Pentagon. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland live in Washington.
The radical ideology of ISIS is spreading far beyond Iraq and Syria, but President Obama said ultimately we will prevail.
We're intensifying our efforts against ISIL's base in Syria. Our airstrikes will continue to target the oil and gas facilities that fund so much of their operations.
After the president was briefed on the fight against ISIS at the Pentagon, he said Americans need to be prepared for the long haul, saying it will not be quick. It's a long-term campaign. The president called it a generational struggle and a global battle with extremists for hearts and minds. Dave.
Rachel, South Carolina lawmakers could vote today to remove the Confederate flag from in front of the state capitol. Flag supporters say it represents heritage, not hatred.
All this was triggered by the massacre of nine people at a church in Charleston last month. The suspect, who has confessed to the shootings, had posed in photos with the flag.
That's Fox's Kelly Wright. A security scare on a plane that turned out to be a false alarm.
178 passengers were airborne only 24 minutes last night out of Charlotte Douglas Airport in North Carolina. Their American Airlines flight to Minneapolis-St. Paul was quickly ordered back, the airline saying it got some sort of security threat. Passengers were ordered off, but their belongings had to stay put, while bomb-sniffing dogs were sent in to check out the plane. Eventually, the passengers were reunited with their things, put on another plane, and flown to the Twin Cities, landing there at about 2 in the morning. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
On Wall Street, futures are higher modestly this morning ahead of today's trading. On Wall and European markets have been down, but only modestly despite the Greek uncertainty. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text.
before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.